Sage Jeffries never backed down from a challenge. "There's nothing you can't do if you set your mind to it," was practically a family motto growing up. She and her three sisters spent their childhood outsmarting, outrunning, and outachieving one another. Hollis graduated high school in 3.5 years. Sage did it in 3. Annabelle rode in her first competitive horse show when she was 7, so their youngest sister Meg made sure to win her first blue ribbon by the same age. To say the Jeffries girls were competitive was an understatement, so it took the family by surprise when Sage bowed out of corporate life to become a bartender in Los Angeles. "Not simply a bartender, a mixologist," she had said, but her sisters mocked what they called her foolishness while her parents offered up some extra cash. She'd been in L.A. almost 3 years now, and mixing drinks wasn't all that different from building robots. She'd always loved pieces and parts, figuring out what worked together and fixing things that were broken. Shortly before turning 30, she'd announced during a family dinner her desire to experience more than what she'd learned in a classroom or the boardroom. She wanted stories and adventure. Since renting her little 1960s-style one-bedroom bungalow, Sage had become an experienced junkie. She went to festivals, had jumped out of a plane, traveled, hiked, and competed in cocktail competitions. She loved her job, and after reading a book on giving back, she'd become involved in her local community center. In a few months, she would be teaching bridge, which would have made her grandmother so proud. Sage was up for anything that brought her closer to life, real life. Of course, even with her recent renaissance, as her father liked to call it, there was still one area of experience that had eluded her. In school, Sage was shy, and now that she'd grown up a bit, she was sort of clumsy or awkward, she wasn't sure. All she knew was the opposite sex was a weakness, an area in which she'd never managed to excel. That was exactly why her sister Hollis had downloaded the book onto Sage's Kindle in the first place and stuck a note on the screen while she was packing. After settling into her seat on the plane, she read the note. "Good seeing you. You've been in L.A. long enough now. Stop being so damn nice. It's time. You're a bartender, little sis. Happy reading. XO, Hall." She'd finished with one of those stupid winky faces. Damn her and her winky face, Sage thought, peeling the note off and stuffing it into the seat pocket in front of her. The moment she touched the little book icon, she was happy she had a Kindle. Not that she was embarrassed to be reading a book titled Nice to Naughty in 10 Easy Steps, but it wasn't something she wanted to advertise either. The plane began to taxi, and Sage held a blue quartz stone hanging from her necklace as if it could somehow aid in delivering her safely back to Los Angeles. She knew better. She knew how planes were made, but still brought something with her every time she flew. A piece of good energy, in case there was more to life than moving parts. Sage read the How to Use This Book section and began questioning her sister's suggestion the minute the author compared women to fruit salad. As the plane lifted off, she took hold of the armrest and prepared for that moment in flight when everything drops a little from the turbulence. Once she made it past that point, Sage had learned through countless trips out of San Francisco, she could relax. Settling back into the virtually non-existent cushion of 14C, she noticed the man sitting by the window. Seat 14B between them was empty, so Sage had a little room to observe. Casually glancing up from his dark leather loafers, Cole Haan, if she had to guess, she saw he was reading Maxim magazine. Once he flipped the page, the cover folded out of sight, but not before she caught a glimpse of a gorgeous woman in next to nothing, her hands over her impressive breasts. Sage looked around the cabin as if some alarm was about to go off and found herself shocked that he was reading what should be a guilty pleasure right out in the open. And what was he so intent on reading? Was there anything to actually read in Maxim? She'd seen the magazine on the stand, but never opened it, so she supposed she shouldn't judge, but she did anyway. Crossing her legs to the other side and attempting to focus back on her own book, Sage learned that apparently naughty women were the grapes of the fruit salad,